This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
When I'd be sitting in the studio of WCRS with Tom Harker, reflecting on the last days of the new Roman Empire and whether or not the people will rise up and take back their republic. Well, Tom, how did you come to playing the ukulele? You told me a joke earlier, if you care to repeat it for the listening audience.
Well, sometimes I wonder why I took up the ukulele, because you know the difference between a dead squirrel on the road and a dead ukulele player on the road?
Okay, what is the difference between a dead squirrel on a road and a dead ukulele player?
Well, the dead squirrel was on his way to a gig.
All right.
Actually, I started the ukulele when I was just a kid in the ninth grade 100 years ago during the folk revival.
Okay, why am I guessing that was not to get chicks? I mean, well, everyone else was taking up the guitar. Why couldn't you just take up an acoustic guitar and get one of them harmonica stands and wander around like all the guys trying to pick up women at the time. Why the ukulele?
Well, either my dad was protective or didn't realize what the advantages were, or he was cheap, because we went to Uncle Somebody's pawn shop, and I think...
Okay, I'm leaning towards cheap already.
I think the guy at the pawn shop saw this pudgy little guy with the thick glasses and thought, he'll do better with a ukulele.
Either that or he had a sick sense of humor.
But that ukulele, it was a baritone ukulele, and it came in handy when I was in college with some of my friends from high school days. We all rode to Florida, and we'd just been there. We just got there, and we went into this hamburger joint, and people were driving around, local toughs, yelling and giving us bad words and things, and they came and attacked us, and the ukulele came in handy, but we had to bury it at sea.
Well, was it an instrument of self-defense?
Yes, it definitely was. I don't know if he would have listened to my music, but he heard some when it broke on his head.
And you thought it started with Pete Townsend. No, it was the ukulele man first. And a lot of your lyrics tend to be on the political side. How did that develop?
Well, maybe I hadn't thought about it. Maybe it does go back somewhat to the folk revival. You hear all that, and then Dylan was making some songs that touched on the social aspects. And, growing up with Dr. King, the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, seeing all that, living near Ohio State campus when the state militia or what the
National Guard
were going around. I just started teaching. I lived on Waldeck, and I was taking a bunch of kids over to Ohio State for a seminar. The kids I taught, and our eyes started burning. The seminar was
on tear gas.
Yep. So I took them back, and then when I tried to get back in, some policeman looked like Archie Bunker stopped me. I had to prove I lived it within the district, and so I guess I saw a lot of that, and I taught at Linmore Junior High in the '60s when what's Mr. Brown's last name? Not James Brown, maybe.
Les Brown?
Les Brown on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah, he was...
WVKO.
He was advertising anyway the protest at Franklin Park. A lot of the folks I knew there at Linmore were involved in that. Then, I was in the teachers' union, and people badmouth unions, they badmouth teachers' unions, but they don't know the half of it. If you don't have a union, you're a slave. And so I was active in that in Columbus when they closed down North High School where I was teaching later. I moved to Circleville and was the union president there. So I guess complaining about stuff that needs complaining about is why I write those songs, and you've always been one of my role models.
All right, I've been known to complain. Why don't you play us something political? One or two here.
This song was, you have a part in this.
All right.
A long time ago, the first time I ever played at ComFest, Bob had a tent there.
Remember that.
The great big sign, name of the tent was Newt's Nightmare Cafe.
And who would have thought he would have come back?
Yeah, right.
The rebirth.
Back
the undead Pillsbury Doughboy.
Back from the...
When there's no more room in hell, Newt shall walk the earth.
Yeah. I wrote a song back then when I didn't know he was coming back called Newt's Nightmare Cafe. When he disappeared, it became W's Ukulele Nightmare Cafe. And when he finally had his mission accomplished, I changed it to our wonderful governor. Governor Johnny Kasich.
Who I ran against in 1992 for Congress.
He's a piece of work.
Then and now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you today to Governor Johnny Kasich's Nightmare Cafe. There is no entry fee, nobody needs to pay, except for smirking Johnny Boy, should he show up here today. And you'll notice Rupert Murdoch isn't here, and you won't see Glenn Beck over there swilling beer. They and Rush Limbaugh are afraid to come near Governor Johnny Kasich's Nightmare Cafe. Oh, but militiamen and teabaggers, you need not stay away. Papatrakis has a cure for you, right? Yeah, ha, ha. It's Governor Johnny Kasich's Nightmare Cafe. We will not board his bus. We'll drag his bus to hell, where he can chat with Satan, whom he has served so well. His haughty arrogance is banned from here today. Ha, ha. Welcome, 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 welcome to Governor Johnny Kasich's Nightmare Cafe.
All right. John Kasich, the man who came to Ohio. And that from Pennsylvania, and still remain loyal to Pennsylvania. Spoke about it. Not the slickest politician, but with $1 million from Rupert Murdoch and having sold junk assets into my state teacher's pension fund and made a ton of money, said you're either with him, right? You're either on the bus or he'll run you over. He didn't know, did he, that the people would build barricades, stop the bus from moving, haul his butt out, and reverse the direction the state was headed.
Amen, amen.
What'd you think of that SB5 movement as a former teacher?
Yeah, the Dispatch had me on the front page. They didn't know it.
Talk about Kasich's nightmare.
Yeah, they had a picture of all the people down there when they delivered the petitions, and I could see me down there, a little dot. They wouldn't have published it if they'd known I was in it.
So you began to develop political songs. You've had some about other people. Dick Armey, I believe.
Yeah, and the governor, or...
Attorney General?
Yeah, Attorney General DeWine.
DeWine. Maybe we can do a few
DeWine
of those.
DeWine or the World Awaited.
All right, I like that. In fact, they used to call him DeWine, at least the people in the Voinovich administration when he was Lieutenant Governor, before he went off and became Senator. Joel Gilliard, who's now deceased, but again... I used to call him DeWine.
Well, you know, if you take DeWine-R and you rearrange it and you turn the dash perpendicular so it can be used as an apostrophe, it does spell, after you rearrange the letters, DeWiener. Yeah, try it.
All right. We'll take your word. Give us another political song, then.
Well, I may have to try to figure out a radio version in the process.
Okay, we're going to have beep a few of these.
I don't know. Maybe the DeWine thing will be
well, we could go with Norman Mailer. For the one word, you could use FUG, as in the musical groups.
Well, I'll figure out something here. This one is real short. This is the DeWine one.
All right.
And I stole the tune. You'll recognize the tune, you folks out there.
Ohio has a wiener. His name is Mike DeWine. He's short and bland and floppy, doesn't have a spine, doesn't like our questions, but he'll tell us anyway that everything he says to us is B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
If you want to hear that one about Dick Armey, I think I can. I'll try to clean it up, or maybe we can bleep it if I forget.
Okay, well let's attempt to the clean version of the Dick Armey song after I say This is WCRS FM Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1, where we play ukulele songs about Dick Armey.
For anybody who doesn't know who Dick Armey is, he's a fella who was in the Congress before, a real turkey, and now he's heading up a great big arm of the Tea Party, driving around in buses raising cane and giving money to bad candidates. And he's from Texas. You know what I say about Texas. If at first you don't secede, try again.
All right.
But, you know, he is the one, one last thing before I start, he's the one that claimed when he called Barney Frank Barney Fag that it was a slip of the tongue. And we all believe that, don't we? There's a Dick Armey down in Texas. There's a Dick Armey in D.C. There's a Dick Armey all over this land trying to stick it to you and me. And he likes to wrap up in the flag. And he don't like Barney Fag. And he says Hillary is a hag. Oh, Dickie, you're such a drag. But Dickie, you ain't got the only army. No, we've got a Barney too. So get ready to dance when we unzip our pants. We're gonna all over you with our Dick Armey. We're gonna all over you. Ready, aim, fire. We're gonna all over you.
All right.
Take that, Dickie.
This ukulele kills fascists. In the studio here with Tom Harker, this is Bob Fitrakis, bringing you the other side of the news as well as the other side of the music. And the ukulele man singing about Dick Armey, and of course, Mike DeWine, our attorney general. How did you begin to do the explicit political lyrics? Was there some certain turning point?
Well, you know, you mentioned the thing from Woody Guthrie, This Machine Kills Fascists. And I've read, I don't know whether it's correct or not, but that, you know, satire and song are good weapons against people who are doing awful things. And I think that's part of it. You know, I think one reason a lot of people don't listen to the truth and don't want to hear the truth is because it's hard. It's difficult. It's like, you know, the guy in the Matrix who wanted to go back into the drums. He wanted to go back because it was too tough living in reality. And so if you're not going to go back and hide your head, then you have to have something to release yourself and give you something to fight back with, to use a common term from
many of Bob's Trigger Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight back.
And so You sing the songs to fight back and give yourself some, build yourself up and maybe hopefully influence some people. Of course, I've had trouble with that because, you know, you play out in a bar someplace or a restaurant, people aren't always listening. And when you're doing satire, some people thought, gee, I didn't know Tom was so conservative. Then other people would come up, the waitress came up and said, you really insulted those Jewish people. I said, are you sure they're Jewish? All the Jewish people I know listen better than those guys did. I even said it was satire at the beginning. They were busy eating.
Well, and of course, sometimes you just flat out insult fascist girls. So maybe you could do that song, one of my favorites.
Yeah, because I think this song, well, I was ticked off. I mean, I'm tired of these people who think like this guy in the song. He thinks he's so cool. Let's see. I'm trying to think what words are in. We already did the Wiener the World Away, so that works all right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Bodo, come on, baby, give me a whirl. Won't you be my fascist girl? Come on, baby, give me a try. Wanna be your fascist guy? We can burn our torches bright and make a thousand points of light. Oh, come on, baby, and be my fascist girl. Oh, I'm so happy that I am so filthy rich. I can be an aristocrat and you can be my bitch. Spend our days bashing lesbians and gays. At night we can get our kicks harassing Jews and Catholics. We can leave a foreigner bleeding on the corner. Oh, come on, baby, and be my fascist girl. Oh, we'll surely get our pictures in the Columbus Dispatch. Woo! Citizens Award for removing trash. Baby, can't you feel the thrill of rubbing shoulders with George Will? Oh, come on, baby, and be my fascist girl. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic France for which it stands, one nation corporation dedicated to the degradation of regular folks everywhere. And they do a heck of a job, yes, sir, amen. Praise Jesus. Oh, fascist girl, you are the best, with a tattoo of Reagan on your breast. Come on, baby, join the master race. Limbaugh's saving you a place. And I know you like my weenie. Looks a lot like Mussolini. Come on, baby, and be my fascist girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, baby, and be my fascist girl.
Indeed. Hard to do satire, though, and when a lot of this stuff. When we live in a time when Rush Limbaugh calls a woman a slut, when he's busy buying street Cialis and erection drugs for himself, and it's just an odd time to do satire. Because if you said there'd be a guy like Limbaugh who's got a semester full of credits, and he would be the man responsible for interpreting Noam Chomsky, the most cited scholar on the planet. You know, how do you satire? I mean, isn't it almost like you're reporting? I mean, and the question of fascism and the Columbus Dispatch itself, I mean, a large media monopoly, and one of the definitions of fascism is corporatism. That's what Mussolini said it was, illiberalism, corporatism, and that's what seems to dominate our economy. Do you ever lose hope, or is the ukulele the solution to keep yourself sane and fight back, well, so to speak?
I'm 67, and it's getting harder. Funny you should ask, because with all this stuff, that the insane things that people are saying on TV and the way they're acting and the things they believe, the awful, to me, un-American things that they are doing, just it really is tough. I've started writing columns in my local Circleville paper. I'm amazed that they let me write them, but I've been fighting back that way.
So the Circleville, is it the Herald?
Yes, the Herald.
Is now left of the Columbus Dispatch.
Yep. Yep. There's another fellow, Brad Cotton, who writes in there. He's a Quaker, and he writes a lot of stuff. The latest one was
Who knows what he'll make up? He'll probably claim Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah, he does say crazy stuff like that. instead,
and that will ultimately be judged by how we treat the least of our brethren,
yep.
Not how much butt we kiss for the top 1%.
Amen. Yep. And they keep letting me put my stuff in there, so I'm really pleased. I'm not writing as many songs as I used to, but I'm still getting some.
And we're going to have another one right now.
Let's see.
Give us something exciting.
Here's an old one, if I can remember how it goes. Moby Dick was supposed to be the indomitable spirit of fate and nature and all that. And poor old Ahab, he got nailed. And the only one that survived was Ishmael, because he didn't really get involved with all that stuff like the other people. But way back when we were bargaining, one way to cut loose a little bit was I wrote something called Moby Dick or the Negotiations Blues, but there's really nothing about negotiations in here. It's just how you fight back. To use that term again.
All right.
Let's see. Well, come along, friends, and I'll tell you the tale about how we took on the great white whale. Cut off his blubber and hauled his butt away. That's what we did. Yeah, we boiled him, boiled him, boiled him down. Took what's left of him to town and sold it to anybody who'd buy the stuff. He had great big teeth as big as your arm, and his body was bigger than my uncle's farm. But we cut him all up and hauled him away. What'd we do? Boiled him, boiled him, boiled him down. Took what's left of him to town and sold it to anybody who'd buy the stuff. Oh, he had great big bones from his tail to his head. At least the sucker did until he was dead. And we cut them all up, made dominoes out of them. But eternal vigilance is the price you pay. You gotta look out for Moby Dick every day, 'cause he'll be back trying to take a bite out of you. But if he does, well, you boil him, boil him, boil him down. Take what's left of him to town and sell it to anybody who'll buy the stuff. That's what you do. Yeah, oh, you boil him, boil him, boil that stuff. Moby Dick thought he was mighty tough, but he never met up with folks like us before. Oh, he had great big teeth as big as your arm, and his body was bigger than my uncle's farm. But we cut him all up and hauled him away. Yes, sir. Well, we cut him all up and hauled him away.
All right, I'm in the studio with Tom Harker, the ukulele man. How can people get a hold of your music? You got a CD?
Probably the easiest way. You can get my CD music on CD Baby. Or also on all that digital stuff, iTunes and stuff. CD Baby puts it on there. I don't know how all that works, but you can. Or you can go to YouTube and look up Tom Harker 100 Ute Vids. Tom Harker 100 Ute Vids. I'm in the process of working up 100 ukulele videos. I've got 64 on there now.
All right. Soon he'll have 67, which is his age, and then he'll have 101 ukulele songs. And I'm hoping he's working on one on the Cokeheads. I mean, the Coke Brothers. And we've got about a minute and a half left here. You got something you can take us out on?
Oh, let's see. Let's see. What should I do? I'll just say how beautiful this day was. You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Oh, can't you see? Everything I hope for, everything I need. You are so beautiful to me. Such joy and happiness you bring. Joy.